This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming weekend against the Cleveland Browns. To talk about that game and to take a look back at this past week's game against the Baltimore Ravens, defeating the defending Super Bowl champions, we have our regular weekly Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing this morning?
Doing very well this Wednesday. How about you, Brian?
Good. Glad to have you back. The Packers are in a little bit of a bind despite their win this past Sunday, losing Randall Cobb for, well, at least 8 weeks. Placed on injured reserve, but he's their one player designated to return. Nathan, what I want to know is between Randall Cobb's receiving, his running, and his occasional return, how much are the Packers going to miss him?
I think they'll miss him a fair amount. In terms of receiving, over the past three games, he hasn't had a huge impact. 13 catches and 142 yards, which is roughly 4 or 5 catches a game, which isn't as much as he was doing those first 2 weeks of the season. But that's still someone that the defense always had to account for when he was on the field. And now the defense can focus more on the Packers' other weapons, which will make their lives harder. So I think it might not be his production that the Packers miss the most, but having the defense's focus on players like Jordy Nelson or the run game more.
With Randall Cobb out, you said that teams are going to have to focus on other players now. I've said that it's time for JerMichael Finley to step up. I see he's ranked 44th among all NFL tight ends at Pro Football Focus. Has he really played that poorly this season?
He has played that poorly in blocking, which Finley has never been a great blocker, so that plays a big role in it. If you sort just by receiving, though, he still only ranks 23rd. He's only 15th in receiving yards. He has 2 passes dropped, which isn't great, but it's still better than he was doing like last year. And then a big reason why his rating isn't higher is he's been catching a lot of short passes in comparison to a lot of other tight ends in the league or compared to how he was doing last year. On balls that are in the air for 10 yards or more, he's been targeted just 7 times, which really isn't much, and he's only made 2 catches off of that. And then when you compare that to someone like Jordan Cameron of the Browns, who the Packers will face next week, Cameron's been targeted 17 times, which is more than double Finley has on passes that are in the air, 10 or more yards, and he's been able to catch 14 out of those 17.
Not exactly great performance from JerMichael Finley this year, but going forward will be really important for him. No matter what happens with the receivers on the team, the running game is looking pretty good in Green Bay. Tell me, Nathan, is Eddie Lacy a Rookie of the Year candidate right now?
I would say realistically he is. Each week at Pro Football Focus, we have a weekly top 10 rookies of the year so far. And right now he's not in the top 10, but is in a 5-to-1 section of our list. But realistically, a lot of the offensive players who are on the list are offensive linemen. And we do that because we want the offensive linemen to get the credit they deserve. But there hasn't been an offensive lineman to ever win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. So really, it will probably come down to either Lacy or Giovanni Bernard of the Cincinnati Bengals. And Bernard right now ranks 3rd in our running back list, while Lacy is just 20th, which a lot of that has to do with Lacy missing a lot of time. And Bernard's just been playing really well so far, so we might see those two get closer together as the year goes on and their playing time starts to equal out. But at the moment, I would say Giovanni Bernard is probably the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, certainly a lot of time left to play, and hopefully Eddie Lacy will stay healthy. But the guys blocking in front of him, this appears to be the best Packers offensive line in at least the past few seasons, based upon a few games. A lot of time to play out here. But how is this offensive line comparing to previous years in Green Bay?
I would certainly say it was better than last year. Last year wasn't a great year in terms of the offensive line. But I think comparing it to the 2011 line, and the 2011 line was very good. I'm just going off of our PFF rankings based on each of their positions. There was Brian Bulaga, who was our fourth best right tackle, Josh Sitton, who was our third best right guard, Scott Wells, who was our fourth best center, TJ Lang, who was our 10th best left guard, and then Marshall Newhouse, who was our worst tackle in the league. So for four of the five positions, the Packers were very, very good that year. So comparing that line to this year, David Bakhtiari isn't nearly the liability that Newhouse is. So if you want to look at all five of them together, their worst of those five is probably the best compared to the worst fifth offensive lineman of those past several years. But I don't think there are many other places where the Packers' offensive line is better than that 2011 line.
I gotcha. Well, the run blocking, I think, is better, but I understand you got to take the whole picture into contention when you're looking at the whole. But let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the football. As we talked to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. On defense, Nathan, the inside linebackers appeared to turn in a terrific game with A.J. Hawk's three sacks, and considering it was just Jamari Lattimore's first career start, how do you think these guys played?
A.J. Hawk, when you have three sacks, you can't have a bad performance after having that much sacks. I think my exact words last week was something like, whenever the Packers blitz with their two inside linebackers, they seem to have success regardless of who's playing there. And I think that's one of the cases where I was right away. Outside of that, Hawk did miss two tackles. And then he also late in the game allowed that 20-yard catch to Tandon Dust while he was covering a deeper zone. So while it was his best game of the year, but there were still parts of his game that weren't great outside of the three sacks. Lattimore did have a really good game to go. He graded out well in run defense most of all, which is what you like to see. He had three stops there. And then his pass rushing, he rushed the passer four times, only had one hurry, which isn't as good as Hawk was, but it was still a positive there. And then he also graded out well in coverage. He allowed two short passes, but not a huge thing, but not too bad either.
Kind of continuing the theme of injuries on this Packers team, now that Nick Perry is out for at least a few weeks, kind of no definitive word on how long he'll miss, but the Packers look to be relying a lot on Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer, a pair of rookies. Tell me, Nathan, how have they looked early this year and even dating back to the preseason when we might be getting a fuller picture of when they actually played?
Sure. Malumba has 72 snaps so far this year, and he has actually looked really good in run defense, so I would certainly like to see him in more on the rundowns. In terms of pass rushing, he has just one hurry on 37 pass rushes, which isn't great. When you go back to the preseason, he was doing a little better there, but again, in the preseason, he was doing really well against the run, so I could see them using him on early downs especially. And then Nate Palmer has 10 snaps so far this year. In those 10 snaps, he allowed the beginning of Marlon Brown's 59-yard catch, so it wasn't a great 10 snaps to begin with. But going back to the preseason, he had 105 snaps there. He graded out as a decent pass rusher, even though it was against not the greatest offensive lineman out there. But he graded out better than Malumba did, so Nate Palmer should certainly see some time and probably should see about as much success as the outside linebackers were seeing early on this year.
Interesting that maybe they could play Malumba on running downs and Palmer on passing downs. Seems to be fit their strengths. But the Packers have a game this upcoming weekend. They're going to be shorthanded against the Cleveland Browns. But, you know, what can the Packers look forward to in this? What seems to be an improved Browns team this year?
Oh, yeah, the Browns have looked really good so far this year. It should look really similar to how this Baltimore Ravens game looked, in that the Browns have a really good defense, and then their offense is a little shaky. They have Joe Hayden, who's one of the better cornerbacks in the league. He should be playing against Jordy Nelson all day. That should be a really great football matchup to watch. Outside of that, the Browns have some decent outside pass rush, but for the most part, Aaron Rodgers should have some time to make some throws. And then the Browns' run defense is really good, so I could see their Packers' run game really being challenged in this one. And then in terms of the Browns' offense, they have Joe Thomas, who, as people of Wisconsin will probably remember, he's one of the greatest left tackles out there. In terms of the Browns' other offensive positions, Brandon Whedon did have two really good games this year, but then last week against the Lions really didn't play well. So we might not have to worry about Whedon too much in this one. He's still playing better than he did in his rookie year. The Browns have some receiving options on offense, but I don't think anything the Packers can't handle in their secondary. And then the Browns don't have much of a run game, so the Packers shouldn't have to worry about that.
Well, hopefully the Packers don't have much to worry about in general as they face the Browns this weekend. They would love to get a win in front of the home crowd at Lambeau Field. But Nathan, thank you once again, as always, for joining us on this Wednesday. And we'll talk to you again next week as the Packers get ready to face the Minnesota Vikings, I think, right? Is that the next team on the schedule? I can't even remember.
That sounds right to me.
Okay. Anyway, Nathan, thanks for joining us and take care.
Yep, enjoy the rest of your week.
All right. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here, as he does every Wednesday on Railroad Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him, and thanks for you, the listener, for joining us today as we get ready for this Browns game this upcoming weekend. Throwback weekend in Green Bay. Hope to see you there this Saturday evening, and then Sunday before the game for a tailgate party. Head over to throwbackweekend.com for all the details. Just announced last night, we're going to have Gilbert Brown, former Packers defensive lineman, joining us at our party at the Green Bay Distillery Saturday evening. So make sure to check that out. Come join us. Meet Gilbert Brown, the legend who was on the Packers Super Bowl 31 team. So excited for this. So make sure to join us for that, a Cheesehead TV sponsored event. Let's get down to this here. That plenty to talk about here on a Wednesday morning as the Packers trying to get through some injuries. As we mentioned before, we're looking for production, as Randall Cobb is going to be lost at least until mid-December. He's on the NFL's designated for return list. Every team in the NFL only gets to use one of those, and the Packers use it on Randall Cobb. He cannot practice for the next 6 weeks. Then he's eligible to practice for two more, and then he's not eligible to play for 8 weeks, meaning I think it's the week 15 game is the earliest he can play. It's not like the Packers have to play him week 15. There's no guarantees here. They could even place him on injured reserve. You remember they did the same with Cedric Benson last year. He was their player designated to return. Ended up, he just wasn't ready to come back, and they place him on injured reserve. Hopefully that doesn't happen with Randall Cobb, but I am letting you know there are no guarantees here. But they make a couple roster moves. In addition to Cobb, they place offensive lineman Greg Van Roten on season-ending injured reserve. So he's done for the year, unfortunately. Packers should be okay at the offensive line. They have seven of them, which isn't a great number, but they only have seven active on game days no matter what the situation is. If they're even if they have an eighth player, he's usually not active on game days. So the Packers okay there for the time being, and perhaps they have Derek Sherrod coming back soon. We'll see here. Hang on for a little more discussion on that. Now, in order to get help at wide receiver, the Packers to fill these spots, to fill the spots of Randall Cobb, to fill the spots of Greg Van Roten, they've signed two receiver types. true wide receiver Miles White from the practice squad, and then also elevating, promoting Jake Stoneburner, tight end from the Packers practice squad. So both guys coming up, they have two practice squads open. They filled one of them with a linebacker from the University of Washington, I believe, Victor Owewa. And they still have one more they can yet fill, so we'll be waiting on that later this week. But yeah, the Packers now, I mean, they need the help at wide receiver pretty badly, and they got Miles White to help them out at least temporarily until Randall Cobb comes back. James Jones is also dealing with this injury issue. He hurting his knee against the Ravens this past weekend. James Jones may or may not play against the Browns. Kind of another one of these situations. There's no guarantees here. It's good news that he's, you know, this isn't going to be an injury that's going to keep out James Jones long, but it may keep him out a week. In which the Packers wouldn't have a whole lot of depth at wide receiver. So that's why it's important to get Miles White in here. He at least knows the offense. He's been with the Packers during, you know, training camp, the preseason. So he got playing time in the preseason, so he knows a little bit about what's going on. And I think Miles White, he's kind of a slot type of receiver. He maybe doesn't have the quickness of Randall Cobb. I'm not sure they'll quite utilize him in the same way. I think he's a little bit more of a deep threat than Randall Cobb maybe is. Not to say that Randall Cobb couldn't get open deep, but it just seems like that's more the forte of Miles White in the limited action that I've seen. Certainly we haven't seen a ton of him, so we'll start to get a more full picture of what Miles White has to him. But I do think he can kind of man that slot position a little bit. That'll be important while Cobb is gone. And then Jake Stoneburner, kind of interesting. Packers adding their fifth tight end to the roster now. And Jake Stoneburner can help in a sense receiving. He's kind of a tight end, and he's kind of a wide receiver in a tight end's body is how I put it. Kind of, you know, a guy who's frequently more flexed out, lining up in a two-point stance, outside the tackle box as a tight end, lining up out wide. And more so than he is an inline tight end, and so they can use him in that way. I'm not sure how much playing time Jake Stoneburner is going to get in the early going. You know, you kind of figure, you know, his biggest role might be on special teams in the early going, but still, Packers going to be looking, I think, to some of these tight ends for receiving help, like JerMichael Finley practically lining up out wide like a wide receiver more often than not. Same with Brandon Bostic. I think you might finally see Brandon Bostic get involved with the Packers game plan as kind of a receiver type going forward here. This is why I can see, understand why the Packers brought Brandon Bostic along slowly. I understand it. He's a young player. He's very raw. He played at a small college. He was just on the practice squad last year. He has very little experience. But, I mean, now you've kept him around for now two seasons for a reason. At some point, he's got to start becoming part of the game plan, or I don't know why you kept him at all. So I certainly don't, you know, criticize the Packers for keeping Brandon Bostic's role limited in the early going, but now when the injuries are piling up, it's time for him to step up, and I do think you'll see him start to be involved here. I think it'll be piecemeal at first. I don't expect him to play a large role, but you know, I think you finally might see Brandon Bostic lining up with the Packers offense here during the regular season. We'll finally see that come to fruition, along with JerMichael Finley lining up out wide quite a bit while Cobb and maybe Jones are out here at least for a week. So we'll see. Today in Green Bay is the very first day practice squad, pup list players are eligible to practice. That means there are four players in Green Bay who can practice for the first time today on Wednesday. That includes offensive linemen Derek Sherrod and J.C. Treader. That includes defensive lineman Jarrell Worthy and then safety Sean Richardson. Now, I don't think J.C. Treader's going to be ready to come back. I think he'll take the full, you know, they have a five-week window to even begin practicing. They don't have to begin practicing today, by the way. There's a five-week window where they can start. So you may not see any of them practice this week. I think you will, but they don't have to, just so you know. But I mean, the kind of the indications are that, you know, with Sherrod and Worthy, I think you get the sense that these guys are ready to come back and start practicing. Once they start practicing, another three-week window opens in which the Packers must decide, okay, we're going to activate these guys or we're going to place them on season-ending injured reserve or you got to cut them. There's many ways this could go depending upon how they look in practice here. You know, don't expect Derek Sherrod even if Derek Sherrod starts practicing this week, don't expect him to be signed up for a game added to the active roster for any time soon. They're going to let him practice for a few weeks to knock the rust off, to get back in the swing of things. And hey, even when he is signed to the active roster, I'm not sure he'll be active on game days at first, or when he will, I'm not sure if he'll be playing right away. They're going to take it slow with these guys, no doubt about it. But I think you'll see him. I think you'll see Sherrod and Worthy perhaps practice. We'll see how things go. Maybe not. But will be interesting. In the case of both Sherrod and then safety Sean Richardson, it is possible that if these guys, you know, don't look ready to return, the Packers may eventually cut them. Depending upon how they look in practice, just because of the severity of their injuries. I mean, you know the story with Sherrod. This goes back 2 years now where he suffered that gruesome broken leg in Kansas City in 2011. Broke it in multiple places, I think. I mean, this was a serious, serious injury that's obviously taken him now almost 2 years to return from. And then with Sean Richardson, you're talking about he had spinal neck fusion surgery to his discs in his neck. I mean, another serious injury that, you know, they're hopeful these guys can return, but you know, they're not fully sure about them, I think. It is possible that they'll be forced to after 3 weeks and perhaps deciding these guys can't play again or they can't, you know, risk playing them again. They could cut them possibly. But, I mean, we hope that's not the case. But just to prepare everybody, I mean, that's the reality of life here in the NFL. And for these guys especially who are coming off, critical injuries that could impair their quality of life going forward. But hopefully they've recovered as best as they can, and we'll see how they are going forward here. So hopefully the Packers, you know, it's good, you know, just from a numbers standpoint that they're losing so many people to injury. It'd be nice to get these guys on the pup list back just to practice, if nothing else, from a numbers standpoint. So that'll be a good thing for the Packers this week. And again, we'll see if Derek Sherrod and company are finally ready to go here and start this process. Again, practice for 3 weeks, and then somewhere in those 3 weeks, the Packers can make a decision. So we'll see. I don't really know how it's going to go with any of these players. I wouldn't hold out for much hope for J.C. Tretter at all. I think he'll eventually be placed on season-ending injured reserve, but he's still got more than a month yet. At least he's got that 5 week window. Who knows? Maybe at the end of 5 weeks, he's ready to start practicing and could be ready then. We'll see. We'll find out. But anyway, that happens today. And by the way, Mike McCarthy has already said the Packers are cutting back practice today. On Wednesday, he was kind of vague about it in his Monday press conference, saying the Packers were transitioning into some things, but didn't really describe what that transition was. If you ask me, it's more they're transitioning to perhaps all these new players on the roster, you know, these guys from the practice squad being brought up, new players being added to the practice squad, pupless players coming back. Maybe that's what the transition is, and they kind of, maybe more than anything, the reason is that they just don't want to practice and risk any more players getting injured. They just want to let them rest, recover, recuperate, and get as healthy as possible for a banged up team here. Because we're looking at other people, you know, perhaps coming back this week, guys who aren't on the pup list who have been injured, you know, linebacker Brad Jones, cornerback Casey Hayward, running back James Starks. You got to think, you know, these guys have said they would be out a few weeks or so, but now it's looking like these guys are close to getting back on the field. That's the feeling I get based upon comments from Mike McCarthy in his press conferences, things like that, things I read in the media. You get the feeling that these guys will be back soon. So we'll see today, albeit in a limited practice environment, I guess. But Packers injury report will be released later today. No matter how much they practice, whether it's full or doesn't look like it's going to be full, but cut back. So we'll see here moving forward how this team is able to cope with all the injuries taking place. We talked about a little bit with Nathan Jahnke during our interview before. We've also learned this week that Nick Perry is now injured. Packers getting really thin on depth at outside linebacker. First, they lose Clay Matthews, going to be out approximately a month, kind of waiting to see when he'll return. And then, you know, to add insult to injury or to add injury to injury, his replacement, basically, Nick Perry, who's been playing in a spot over at the right outside linebacker position, where he seems to have come on in the past few weeks. The timing couldn't be worse. Nick Perry apparently breaks his foot in the game against the Ravens. He'll be out several weeks. Again, not really exactly sure the time frame he'll be gone, but again, the indications are it isn't season ending. You know, the Packers could have made Nick Perry the designated player to return. They chose not to. So they try to get by here for a few weeks without Perry, without Matthews. They'll be leaning a lot on Mike Neal. Almost hard to believe, right? That Mike Neal is considered the healthy player. You know, the guy who's had so many injuries in his young career, the first 3 years of his career. He's now the healthy one at outside linebacker. And a guy who's just transitioning to that position as well. They're going to be leaning on him and be leaning on the rookies Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer. As we kind of talked about with Nathan Jahnke there, very, very interesting that seems like Andy Malumba is kind of playing very well against the run. And Nate Palmer, the indications are that his forte is maybe rushing the passer a little bit. Could be seeing a little bit of a timeshare there, perhaps. Malumba, you know, playing the run on early downs, Nate Palmer getting after the passer when it's passing downs, third and 10, things like that. We'll see. I don't know how strict they would follow that sort of pattern, that sort of rotation, but no doubt about it, no matter what the rotation looks like, they're going to be relied upon here. They're going to play a big role as they try to get by without Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, a pair of first-round draft choices. Just, you know, what about the Packers' first-round draft choices in general? You know, how many of those guys are injured? You know, Matthews, Perry, Sherrod, Brian Bulaga, all these first-round draft choices are injured right now, and they're trying to get by without them. And it really is unfortunate that, you know, these guys, they got to deal with all these injury situations. It just is an almost unforeseen amount of injuries. I mean, the Packers have dealt with injuries before, no doubt about it, 2010, 2012. But, yeah, I mean, getting through without these guys. But they did, you know, last year. Consider, you know, last year, Clay Matthews missed four games. Packers end up going and 3-1 in the games Clay Matthews missed. Last year, they missed Greg Jennings for 8 games. They missed Jordy Nelson for 4 games. Packers got by without him. They qualified for the playoffs. You know, the Packers can do this. This isn't a death knell. It's nothing they haven't dealt with before. And you think, you just look at the roster and you say they can get by. You know, there's things they can do. And I think the Packers' schedule sets up well. You know, going forward, they come back home this week, and home field advantage just being so important as it is, you know, they got that working in their favor. You know, they got more home games than road games for the rest of the season. It seems like the toughest games they played have been early on, their toughest opponents, and it gets a little bit easier from here on out. So I think the schedule sets up well for them. So that's all kind of things to feel good about and feel positive about going forward here. But challenged this weekend against the Cleveland Browns, no doubt about it. But folks, that'll do it for a Wednesday. We'll be back again on Friday, Railbird Central, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Make sure to join us then. I've already got our guest set up for this Friday. We're going to have Matt Lodi, a buddy of mine, friend of mine from Cleveland, works for a radio station over there, Metro Networks in Cleveland, covering the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk to him Friday morning, kind of get prepared for this game. So looking forward to that. But anyway, I leave you today. On behalf of Jamie George, I leave you today with a song called Freaker by the Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go. Human dreidel.